El Recuerdo, El Soundo. You're listening to the Football Sack Podcast. We're back in the studio. I'm your host, Jack Quigley. With me, as always, is Christian Leyland.
Hello, everybody.
Battered and bruised after a bit of football on the weekend.
I am limping into the studio.
Oh, well. Yeah. Hope your voice isn't too affected.
We'll see.
Let's get into it. Right, we are back. It's Monday, the 26th of July.
I'm totally cool with going with that day.
2010,
roughly.
We'll just take a stab at that. We're into the Sydney Festival of Football.
Awesome.
Which is good. We saw some games yesterday. Sydney FC going down 5-3 to AIK Athens, which is great for that goals rule that they have.
It is. Yeah, so AIK finished with 8 points in that game, and Sydney FC have 3 with the loss.
Yeah, they lost, picked up 3 points. That was, they could have sort of gone to the press conference, and Vitislav Lavichka could have said, look, we came here today looking to get the 3 points, and we did that.
It's good.
Considered 5 goals, got the three points.
I like it. It's funny going to press conferences with Lavichka, because he has that strange accent, and loves it. He's from a different, cultural background, so he tries to make these jokes and he just kind of just bombs them out, and the press conference are like kind of like just impolite laughter.
The best one in the A-League is Miron Blyberg, who just goes off on tangents. He had a great one at the Gold Coast last year. I can't remember, I wish I could, but he just has this way of talking, and he goes in and makes very strange analogies that you don't understand, and yeah, he's great. I like Miron a lot. Got a lot of time for him.
It's fair. I was at a coaching course once with Han Berger, the Australian FFA technical director, and he's saying all this stuff. He's like, now, of course, I did not invent football, so you don't have to take me for gospel, because that, of course, was Miron Blyberg.
Well, there you go. I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
The other game, of course, was Glasgow Rangers got off the mark with a win as well, beating Blackburn Rovers 2-1.
2-1, was it?
2-1, yeah. 2-1. David Dunn pulled a penalty back for Blackburn. Kenny Miller missed one for Rangers as well.
Awesome.
Put it over the bar. But,
so it's been 3 penalties.
Yes.
In the 2 games.
Yeah, so lots of action. And one of the contenders for Gaff of the Year. In fact, it's probably wrapped up Gaff of the Year in pre-season.
Yes.
With the AIK Athens reserve keeper. Came out in the second half, obviously looking to make a good impression, hopefully impress the coach.
Maybe get a transfer.
That's right. He obviously wants out of the club. definitely won't get out of goalkeeper with footwork like that.
No. For anyone who missed it.
What did you just say just then?
For anyone who missed.
Oh, sorry.
Just like you missed that statement.
Yeah, I just did not hear that at all.
Now a reserve host looking for a transfer. Yes. I know the 442 podcast or something. Yeah. Something inferior.
Hey, that's something I want to talk about too. I tweeted Matt, who was at the game, mm-hmm. in the press area, because they have the electronic sideboards running down the side of the grounds, and they keep flashing up different things. And it had 442 magazine, which is a great magazine.
Yes.
I really like 442 and great website as well. But it flashed up the Ultimate Football, and then it would change. It would say magazine, and then it would change to website, and then it would change to podcast.
Mm.
And I tweeted Matt and said, oh, have you noticed around the ground that they're advertising that 442 is the Ultimate Football Podcast? Aren't they going to be shattered and embarrassed when they see that we're ranked above them in iTunes?
Yeah, is it number 2 in the world currently?
Yeah, I think we're back down to 4, but...
Oh, okay.
Keep listening.
That's it.
And get your mates to listen.
That's it. Vote for us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Vote for us on iTunes.
How do we get to number 1? Is it by listens or votes?
I think we're probably a compilation.
Yeah,
it
probably is. So it's probably like the Duckworth Lewis system.
Yeah, which no one quite understands. Yeah. It just somehow happens magically.
Yeah.
And Australia always seems to come out on top.
Yeah, and South Africa always get it wrong.
Just a quick note, we got a new poll on the website related to this.
Do we?
Yeah, it says is the Football Sack Podcast the greatest A-League podcast in the world? So go on the site and vote for us.
Well, that's a great poll. I like
that
a lot.
That's a great poll,
That's the best poll since Graham.
Ah, yes. I like it. That's good.
And he wasn't very good.
He wasn't great at all, was he?
Yeah, so I've totally lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the Festival of Football.
Yes. We're going way, way back to Alex Brosk.
Yes.
For those of you who didn't see, he scored his first goal as a penalty. His second one, the goalkeeper sort of tried a little bit of nifty footwork. Tried the old, I'm going to clear it. No, I'm going to take it inside. But Broski didn't fall for it. Keeper slipped over. And we have a contender for Gaff of the Year, which is great.
It's awesome. I loved it. Yeah. I laughed so hard.
Yes. I think everybody did.
Yes.
The other thing...
Even the A.A. Gaffin's first choice goalkeeper was laughing at it, saying, you're never going to challenge
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, that's my first choice for the year. Mm-hmm. For the other talking points out of the game, Nathan Burns looked quite good for A.A. Gaffin's, came on, injected a lot of pace into the game and had a couple of chances to score, that's too.
Quite lively, yeah. Funny yeah. Who's, well, not really his home crowd, but, you know, home country, so
home state. He's from Orange.
Okay,
so
there you go.
Apparently had family there. We've got to talk about this, the new signing. There was a couple of new signings. They had the trialist there as well, Tiam, who yes. scored. But the other one making his debut for the club, who has officially been signed, is this Hirofumi Moriyasu, the Japanese player. And I was extremely underwhelmed, I must say.
Yeah, no, he didn't do too much, did he?
No, well, didn't bugger all. In fact, all he did was give away the ball for one of their goals. That was his highlight.
So he's a Sydney FC version of Mitch Nichols.
Is that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, you really don't like
that. No, we won't go into it again. No, yeah. We won't.
Because I'm just going to defend him and you're going to slate him and we'll be here all that. They'll take up the rest of the podcast.
Yes, okay. Because he got signed from the New South Wales State League.
Yeah.
So
he's played in the third tier in Japan, we should note.
Oh, the third tier?
The third tier of Japanese football. Wow. Yeah. Pardon me, I still haven't managed to clear my throat since the podcast started. He was quite ordinary because he seemed to be sort of sitting in behind in a Carol Kissel sort of role, but didn't make any tackles during the match and made some pretty poor passes as well. So let's hope that he gets better, because obviously, as we talked about before the show, it's very difficult to judge a player by their debut performance, isn't it?
Well, that's it. Yeah, a lot of people have shocking debuts and they go on to become star players. And alternately, people have great debuts and you never see them again.
So, yeah, that's right.
We have some classic examples lined up.
Yeah, we do. We didn't really talk about players who had great debuts and didn't follow it up. That's a really good topic. Yeah,
it is, actually.
Because I can think about 12 on the top of my head for West Ham. Like, Kepa Blanco came on the season we stayed up with Tevez.
Mm-hmm.
He came on against Liverpool. We were 2-1 down, made his debut, scored with his first touch, and I don't think we ever saw him again.
Yeah, okay.
I
was going to say, because with Manchester City, we got Rolando Bianchi and Giovanni.
He scored at West Ham on debut.
Yeah, they both scored on debut. Yeah. And I was going to say, within a year, they were both gone.
Yeah.
And you can think that was Sven's team, the whole team, pretty much made their debut that game, played amazing, and then in a year, they were all gone when Mark Hughes came in. So.
So anyway, we've lined up some people here who are for you to discuss, and if you've got any that we miss, nightmare debuts that you'd like us to comment on, email the show at info@thefootballstate.com. We think some good ones are Cameron Jerome, signed for Birmingham City a couple of seasons ago and managed to get himself sent off within about 120 seconds of coming onto the pitch. That's a good start.
It's impressive. A lot of people probably couldn't do that if they tried.
That's right. Jonathan Woodgate went one better when he signed for Real Madrid.
How can you go better than that?
Well, he signed for Real Madrid, scored an own goal, and then got sent off.
Okay, he had to just put the touch in the middle.
That's right, yeah, he had a good touch. So he found the net.
And
then found the dressing room. And, of course, a bit of an A-League touch. Michael Theoklotos had a great time with the Melbourne Victory, didn't he?
Yeah, he got keeper of the year in the seasons.
He was brilliant.
One or two championships. He got championships anyway.
He got A1, yeah, A-championship, for sure.
And they generally considered probably one of the top goalkeepers in the A-League. Yeah,
brilliant. And got a good move to Norwich City over in England, a very famous club. Great fans there in Norwich. And made his debut, it was against Colchester United.
It was?
At the start of last season.
And what happened?
They got beaten 7-1, and he never played for them again.
I'd like to know, he actually did get called up for a cup game later in the season.
But
missed the team bus.
Missed the team bus,
he had a horrible debut and it stuck.
He will not have happy memories of his time with the Canaries, will he?
No, not at all.
And of course, the all-time great nightmare debut has to go to Ali Dia of Southampton. And for those of you who don't know the story... Graeme Souness was manager of Southampton at the time, got a phone call from a bloke claiming to be George Weah's cousin. And so, at the time, George Weah was the best player in the world.
Great player, yes.
And he said, look, I've got a player for you here. He's quite a good player. And if you want, I'll give him to you. We'll keep it on the down low, and I won't offer him to any of the big clubs. And Souness has gone, yeah, that's great. Don't tell Man United. Don't tell anybody. Bring him down. He just had one training session. He was meant to play a reserve game, but the pitch was waterlogged, so the game got cancelled. Then he had a training session. They just played five aside. And I've heard like Matt Letizier say, yeah, he came. He was pretty ordinary. We thought he was just a trialist, wouldn't get a go. But it's a bit harsh to judge people in their first training session. So he was named on the bench for a Premier League game.
All right.
Letizier got injured after about 20 minutes of this game. So Ali Dia got thrown out. This bloke was just a total hoax. He'd barely played football in his life. And here he was like you or me going onto an English Premier League game. He played for like 60 minutes, got taken off before the end. I think, you know how they do Opta stats on the game? He's statistically the worst player who's ever played in the Premier League. Just because, I think he only touched the ball twice in 60 minutes. Yeah. And one of those was a scuff shot. Like he had a chance to score, it just fell for him and he didn't put it away. But it was just, it's so funny to think that someone conned their way onto the field in a Premier League game. That's crazy.
It's just a bit of greed getting into you, you know, as a manager. It's like, oh, we won't tell anyone else, just you. And they go, oh, goody, I like this.
And apparently he sort of just didn't even turn up the recovery session, was never seen again, and I don't think he even paid for his hotel or anything.
Yeah, okay. So, he just bailed, as you would.
Oh, he's got a Premier League appearance under his belt.
Yeah, that's it. A lot more than most people could say.
Yeah, I think he went to a conference team or something like that. I think they more signed him as a publicity stunt.
A couple
of seasons later.
Ali Dia, there you go.
Talking of signing players, there's a lot of obviously controversy going on at the moment in the English Premier League with Cesc Fabregas, and we've talked about that on the show. The other saga that's being drawn out now is Fernando Torres at Liverpool,
which has been going on for a while.
He's basically, apparently he's not happy with the club. Roy Hodgson, I love don't you love that he's got that, whatever that speech impediment is called, where you can't say R's. That's bad enough. It's a real kick in the teeth if your name starts with the letter that you can't pronounce. I've got a lot of time for Roy Hodgson. I think he's a terrific manager. A terrific person.
I think he's one of the
top
British managers.
I think he probably is the top
British manager.
Well, probably apart from Alex Ferguson. He's great. Fernando Torres still has about 3 years left on his current Liverpool deal.
Is it a 4-year contract last year or something?
I think it was something like that.
5-year contract that you feel like
I think it was that.
Yeah.
He's apparently not happy, and Liverpool apparently, you know, will they hang on to him? Well, if they don't want to sell him, they don't have to. He's got 3 years left, and Fernando, if you're not happy, tough tit, because you shouldn't have put pen to paper on a deal, because footballers need to learn the value of a contract. It's not just an agreement that we're going to pay you so much money until you don't want to play anymore and then you're free to go. It's an agreement. If you sign that, yes, we will pay you this money, but you have to play for us for this period of time. So Liverpool, you know, yeah, I know they'd love a cash injection, but it's a massive step backwards if they sell Fernando Torres. So they won't. He will start the season as a Liverpool player because they don't have to sell him. And it shits me that we have to hear about it day in, day out, about will Fernando Torres stay or go.
Fair enough. I can see where you're coming from with the whole like club loyalty thing, to like players have to show loyalty, but I think it goes both ways. Like, a lot of clubs will sign players on 4 or 5 year contracts, but then if they have a long term injury, or they're just not as good as they first thought, or something happens, and they just whisk them out the door, you know, as quick as they can. So like, it goes both ways. You say players need to show more loyalty in today's game, but I think clubs also have to do the same thing if they want to expect it from the players.
Yeah, because players will usually have a say before they leave a club. Like, I think at the moment West Ham's still paying Freddie Ljungberg not to play for us. It was cheaper for us to pay him to leave than to keep him here for his contract. We've had Kieran Dyer on our books for about 3 years now. He's played about 12 games, earning £90,000 a week.
Well, who was that Chelsea player who Chelsea wanted to sell, but he just wouldn't go?
When was this?
It was when Chelsea got pretty big.
Yeah.
It's and he signed for them, but then it realized, you know, they end up getting 3 or 4 players in that position.
Yeah.
He was like a wide player or something. And they said, all right, well, you're not going to get game time for you. We'll, like, loan you out or sell you to another club. But he was on astronomical wages. Yeah. So he said, no, I've had to talk to my lawyer. As long as I come to training every day, do exactly what you tell me to, like, yeah, it's in practice and stuff,
oh,
you have to pay me.
Lewis Bond, what's that? Yeah. He's not, because we signed so many players in that panic to stop us from going down in 2006 or 2007. And the wages we had to throw at them to get them to come, the likes of Kieran Dyer, Lewis Bonmorte, Matthew Upson is the other one,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're never going to get those wages anywhere else. So why would you leave? Like, yeah, who cares if you're barely playing and the fans don't like you? You know, you should see his house.
Yeah, that's it.
It's very massive.
Yeah. Manchester City has Danny Mills. He was there, one of those.
Was he?
He signed on for over £45,000 a week.
Yeah.
And because he was an England international when they signed him. But then we got Nedimin Nua and then a few other right-backs. Micah Richards came up. Danny Mills
wasn't a bad player.
Nedimin Nua, he's good.
No, Danny Mills.
Oh, Danny Mills. Okay.
Yeah. Nua was a great player. Yeah. I really rate Nua, yeah.
But and then he kind of got third.
Yeah.
And then he kept getting injured. And so we tried to sell him or try to loan him out. But then every time he got loaned out, he just went, oh, my shin splints are playing up, and just came back to the club. So he just kept getting the 40-odd thousand a week and until the contract ended.
If you know any stories like this, email the show, info@thefootballsack.com, if you think you can add to this conversation. Righto, enough talking about your club and my club.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about my club. And not my club is in West Ham, is in my club. My club is in the new segment on the Football Sack website.
Yeah, okay. Well, my club is a new segment on the website, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit on the podcast every now and then.
Yep.
Where it's open for local viewers and international listeners, because the international listeners are going to be called the adopted club.
Yes.
What we want to hear is, because most people have an A-League club they support, but a lot of people have a local club they support, you know, so either someone in the state leagues or just someone just in a local, yep, for Far North Coast League.
Yep, someone you play for or something like that.
Yeah, someone you play for or someone you watch, you know. So we want to hear from you about your club, your local club. You know, email us at info@thefootballsack or Twitter us. Just tell us the name of your club, your contact details, we'll get in contact with you, and we'll do a little feature on you and your club.
Yep, what that club means to you, exactly, why you support that club,
how you're involved,
yeah,
and a little bit of history and background.
Yeah.
It's I reckon it'll be a little pretty wonderful. And for the international listeners and readers, we have our adopted club scheme, where... Yeah.
We will follow a club's fortunes
overseas,
everywhere around the world that we get told to. Basically, we're already off the mark as well. We've got the Shells.
Yes,
they're up. Yeah,
they're from Ireland. What we're doing is the first listener or reader to write into us from a certain country, we will adopt their club.
Yep.
As the Football Sacks club. That's for that right. country,
and we'll follow them and get behind them. You know,
wholeheartedly.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, because right now you can click on the My Club tab.
We're sitting here right now in Shelbourne United kits.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah,
because very nice.
Yeah, we look spanky in the red and white.
Shelbourne FC. Go the Shells.
Go the Shells. I feel good.
Yes. Yeah. I feel good by James Brown. They're currently fifth in their league. I think 4 points off a playoff position, and they're in the Provincial Cup final, so
that's great. Go the Shells.
Go the Shells. Go and
Shelbourne until I die. That's what I always say.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I've got a plaster on my wall now.
I've got it tattooed on my back.
Yeah. No, I saw that. It's good. It's still a little bit red because it's new.
Yeah, it's new. Yeah,
but it kind of suits red and white.
That's right. Yeah, because I am white.
Yes,
and then the red, and plus it bled a little bit, which added to the effect.
Yeah. So no, it's good. Of course. So any international listeners out there, hit us up with your clubs. We will take them on with all our passion.
Yes,
and which is going to be strange, because now we're going to have more than one club we support.
Yes, and this is one thing that's always bothered me. And I tweeted the other night, because I was tweeting the Wellington Phoenix Boca Juniors game, which was a really good game. So, gee, a little bit. But gee, the Phoenix play some great football.
They knocked it around
really well. Their first or second goal. First goal was a corker of a goal. Yeah, really lovely goal. Short pass, long pass, cross field balls, cross, first time finished.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Any league in the world, that goal would have graced. I tweeted the other night and said, I always found it difficult to understand how people can give their heart to more than one club. And it's very clever. The listeners can't see that, but Christian, just with the lanyard on his pen, has made a little love heart shape. Yeah. It's red.
It's red. There. Yeah. Sorry, continue.
Yeah.
I get distracted quite easily.
Yeah, obviously. What bothers me was that I was trying to read and you wave it in front of my face. Like, look what I did. Mummy.
Jack.
Look what I did.
Give me credit.
Yeah. I've totally lost my train of thought.
Yeah, more than one club.
More than one club, yeah. And I tweeted and said, yeah, I never understood how you can do that. And we got a heap of replies. We had, you know, at first I was a little bit annoyed because we had some sort of replies like Alex Lucas wrote in. He said, my top five, Barcelona, Man United, Juventus, Sydney FC, and Olympiacos. And oh, I had a sly dig and said, geez, season tickets must set you back a lot. And Matt Collard wrote Sydney FC in Liverpool. Tony McFadden, Manchester United, Central Coast Mariners. There was beginning to become a real theme that at least one of their supported clubs, one of these multi-supporter fans, mm-hmm. was one of these big four clubs. That annoys me. I don't really understand how you do that. But then we started getting some other ones in. Scott Condon wrote in and said Melbourne Victory, Newcastle United.
Cool.
I'm assuming he means Newcastle upon Tyne in the UK, not the Jets.
Not the Jets.
Yeah. It'd be a bit strange if you had two A-League teams.
Yeah. No, it would be, wouldn't it?
Chris Walker-Bush wrote the Newcastle Jets, mm-hmm. West Ham and Leeds.
Which is a little bit strange.
Very interesting combination there.
West Ham and Leeds.
Yeah.
I can't quite fathom that one.
Yeah, I don't see how you get a geographical link between the two at all or anything.
Unless it's, I don't know, maybe, because you find a lot of Australians support Leeds.
As the Australian league,
Viduka and
Kiel, Ocon,
yes.
Joel Griffiths.
Of course.
And
now they have Kisnorbo.
There's another one, Jacob Burns, Patrick Kisnorbo, another one. Who's the,
not
Neil
Ward?
Kilkenny.
Oh, Kilkenny, yes. Yeah. I always get Kilkenny and Ward mixed up, don't ask me why.
Yeah. So that's an interesting combination. So if you are in this boat and you have more than one team that you support, let us know and give us a bit of an explanation as to why.
Yeah, give us some background.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
A
bit, yeah. It's kind of like,
to what extent as well, because I said it must be hard to give your heart to more than one club. Mm. I don't mean Melbourne.
Yes, of course. I see what you did there.
Very clever.
That's very nice.
I don't mean give your little piece of lanyard that you've made into a heart shape to anyone.
Hey, it's a thought that counts.
That's right, yeah. that's terrible. Explain, who's your number one team? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do have second teams, I understand that, but I wouldn't say you support them. I have a Liverpool shirt at home with Harry Kewell's name on the back, mm-hmm. and number. Mm-hmm. Just trying to think of all the other football club shirts I have. Like, you know, I love football shirts, and I'll collect them, but they'll often have a reason, a Socceroo or something like that.
I have a lot of international jerseys. Like, I've got an Italian, I've got a Brazil, I've got Argentine. I don't know, I just kind of collect them, and because I do like those three nations, obviously. Yeah. Like, I really like the tactical nous of Italians, and the flair of the Brazilians, and just, you know, the heart of the Argentines.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, the second club is obviously I am Brisbane Roar and I am Manchester City.
Yes.
And I would say I'm equally passionate about both. Yep. Though, like, if they played each other, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah. That's what you, the quandary you get into, because I don't think you can ever really get more than one team, because, you know, it's like a marriage. You give your heart to your club if you support them properly. You know, you absolutely, I know, you go out of pocket in the UK trying to follow your club around.
Yes.
You just can't do that for more than one club. It's not possible. So, although having said that, I do go watch AFC Wimbledon play amateur football, and that's great. Yeah. I really enjoyed that, and I wish them all the best. They're in the conference now, which is terrific.
It's funny, like, the stories you're talking about before was because I actually have a soft spot for Schalke 04 in the Bundesliga.
Oh, okay.
But that's
why is that? Where does that come from?
It comes from, like, years and years and years ago, the first time I ever played FIFA. On the PlayStation back then, I had to pick a team, and we made an agreement: no EPL clubs, no, you know, top four clubs.
Yeah.
And so I just pressed randomize, and Schalke 04 came up. This is when I was tiny. I'm like, okay, I have no idea about them. So I looked into them, and just, like, got some history. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just, if anyone asks for a German club, that's my German club.
Yeah.
So I think it was 2 years ago they did it right. They finished second or third.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, cool. And they made the quarters of the Champions League. So, like, even though I'm not a passionate supporter for that cup run,
you followed that team.
I watched their matches,
We'll be kind of doing that now with our My Club
thing. Yes, of course. Because now Shells are much, much higher than Schalke, of course.
Yes, you are. Well, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
They're up there.
My Schalke tattoo is much smaller.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's much smaller than my Shells one. Chris Murphy tweeted us as well and said, having Graham Arnold...
He's a Central Coast fan.
He's a Central Coast fan. Having Graham Arnold as coach has meant no more... what is it? Anglophone hiring policy. I'll give him that, which is true so far. Okay. The rest remains to be seen. I'm optimistic. And, well, why wouldn't you be as a Coast fan? And their preseason has been terrific.
It has been. Like, signings have been amazing. Their friendly results have been pretty good. They just had a game down in Launceston. They drew nil with a victory, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
For your solid side. Yeah, it's preseason.
Not a bad side.
So all signs looking really good. I haven't actually been able to see them play live yet, but all reports are saying they're playing some good football.
That's cool. Should we wrap up our other results there? Friendlies?
Not too many. Gold Coast United beat North Queensland Fury at Carrara 1-0. I think it's like a 4th-minute strike. And Brisbane beats the Newcastle Jets down in Newcastle 1-0 as well.
Okay, so cool.
Nothing too extraordinary. And I think as we're getting close to the season, it's kind of strange. The closer we get to the season, the less the friendly results kind of mean.
Yeah. Well, friendly results never mean anything. And that's the Sydney Festival of Football. Sort of you feel a bit sorry for the media's trying to build it up and Fox Sports trying to talk to the players. Like, I think they were talking to Brett Emerton after the game. Yes, I caught his interview. And the interviewer sort of said, you know, did Sam Allardyce really give you a rocket at halftime when you were 2-0 down? And he didn't want to say, no, it's a pre-season game. But he sort of danced around it and said, oh, obviously he'd prefer us to be leading.
Yes.
Yeah,
because, like, you know, as a coach, if you're half-time at a friendly, you go, all right, this is cool. Now, rather than, you know, go all out to try to win, you go, all right, well, I just want to see this. Try to find some new players. Yeah, that's it.
Mick McCarthy, because Wolves came out here last season and played over in Perth.
Yes.
And Mick McCarthy said they sort of asked him afterwards, you know, how important are these results? And he said, not very, you know. I don't really want to win all my preseason games and get thumped by West Ham on the opening day of the season, which is exactly
just fair enough.
That's the attitude that all the coaches at this Sydney Festival of Football will be taking, unfortunately.
It's not what people want to hear, but it's the truth.
It's exactly the truth. Yeah. But countering that is this goals thing, which is great.
Well, I think it's given a bit of an encouragement to score goals, which is probably not good for the defensive coaches, but the public's loving it. I mean, 5-3. When else are you going to see a 5-3 game, really?
Saw one last season.
Who asked you?
See a lot of 5-3s following West Ham United.
Yeah, no, unfortunately you're generally the 3.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're the 5 on this occasion because we played Burnley.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a nice change. Yeah. Right, well, I think that's about us for today.
Yes. Yeah, I'll see. Well, until the A-League starts, we'll just be doing a weekly podcast.
Yeah, we're going to cut it down because, let's be honest, there's not a lot to cover.
That's it.
We can come in and do jokes.
We can do jokes.
Yeah, we could switch it to... we can make a climb up the iTunes charts in the comedy section. It could be the comedy sack.
The comedy sack.
We could have missed our calling entirely.
What have we done?
Yeah.
Jack, what have we done?
Right, leave it with me. I'll write some jokes. I'll see you in the studio in 20 minutes to record a comedy podcast.
Sounds good. See you then.
We'll see you next week, folks. Take care.
Have a good one.